You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe a difficult place, or perhaps even in a very lonely place, you've come to the right place. Pastor Richard will challenge and encourage you today with a Christmas season message of God's greatest gift, Emmanuel, the hope of the world, as we share the 25 Talks of Christmas all this month on Richard Ellis Talks. Now, a reminder that you can always listen to, download, and even share this or any talk with a friend right from the Advent calendar on the website, richardellistalks.com. So let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is We Are the Reason for the Season. I did a little research. Most scholars believe there were three wise men that visited the baby Jesus the night he was born, but there were actually four. We know about the three, one who brought gold, the other brought frankincense, the other who brought myrrh. These three gifts brought by the first three wise men were of great help to Joseph and Mary financially. God used the three wise men to provide for the family of Jesus. This enabled them to be able to move to Egypt when Herod issued a decree to kill all the male children 2 years old and under. Most families didn't just up and move to a different country in those days because of the cost. There was a fourth wise man that came by night also bearing a gift to give to the newborn baby, Jesus. We don't hear about him in scripture though because he was turned away along with his gift. Does anybody know what his gift was? Fruitcake. So that's why he was turned away. I also found an interesting quote. You'd have to be a little older for this one. Anybody know who Shirley Temple was? There we go. This will be okay then. This is from Shirley Temple. I stopped believing in Santa Claus when I was six. Mother took me to see him in a department store, and he asked for my autograph. So it's pretty much over at that point. And this is kind of a great thing that I don't know if I had dreamt this or God showed me this in a vision or something, but when I got married, the guys will understand this, you're told when you get married that at Christmas we're going to her house, right? To her parents' house. Did anybody hear this? Kind of like that's where you're spending Christmas. So biblically, if you read the story of Joseph and Mary, biblically you're supposed to go to the husband's house, right? So if you guys are getting pushback from these women, just reading the story of Jesus, that they went to Bethlehem where he was from, not where she was from. I'll keep trying that. Sometimes even scripture doesn't work. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Usually what you hear out there is that we've gotten so far from Christmas, we've gotten so far from everything that it's supposed to be about, that they come back and say, well, no, he is the reason for the season, right? Most of what we hear. Now, that's kind of true, but it's really not true. He really isn't the reason for the season. Now, we point to him because Jesus was born, but what we're going to do today is go back in the scripture and see why it really wasn't that he is not the reason for the season, but that we are the reason for the season. In Matthew chapter 1, let's jump in at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And why are we going to call his name Jesus? For he will save his people from their sins. Even to Joseph, it's revealed that the reason you're going to call him Jesus, the reason that he's coming is to do what? To save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now go to Luke chapter 2, if you would. That's Matthew 1. And literally Joseph is told he will save his people from their sins. Luke chapter 2, and we'll jump in here at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid," which really doesn't help at this point, I don't think, because you're afraid pretty much. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And then look at what they announced to the shepherds. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Joseph's been told who he is. Now the angels are telling the shepherds who he is. So he's not coming for fun. This isn't God making a visit saying, "Wow, let's go down and check it out in kind of a different way. We'll go as one of them." There is no reason for Jesus to come down here. He could show up down here, just Jesus. He doesn't have to be born. He could come and do whatever he wants to do. But the fact that he was born of a virgin, a physical body, lives a perfect life, dies on a cross, buried, raised from the dead. The only reason he came down here was to save us. We are the reason for the season. Keep reading. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Then it jumps down a few days later. "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.' And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So a promise. This old man, however old he was, getting older, but he had been told, the Holy Spirit had promised him, "You are going to see the Messiah before you die." So if the Messiah is going to be born of a virgin, which is what was prophesied, and you're waiting, you know that the Messiah is going to show up in the temple, so you're going to want to be there when this kid shows up. And how are you going to know which one it is? Well, here it goes. "So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the Christ child, the child Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word.' And look what he says, 'For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" So Joseph's told, the shepherds are told, and here Simeon has been told that he would see the Christ and literally picks up this baby and says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Go over to Galatians chapter 4, if you would, a few pages to the right. If you don't know where it is, table of contents in the front, and you can find Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, and let's jump in at verse 4. And here Paul, writing to this church at Galatia, says this. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So Paul even writes of this, obviously, and let's jump over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy, a few pages over, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and this is Paul not writing to a city, but writing to an individual, a young guy named Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says this, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." So now it's talking about grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now, this is how big a deal we are. And you say, well, I don't think this applies to me. Jesus died. If you have breath, you have life, then Jesus died on a cross to save you. You say, well, I don't want saving. Well, then he's not going to shove this on you. But the deal that was made, God somehow knew before even time was created, before anything was created, he knew that he would create Adam and Eve, that mankind would come forth, and that we would be here. You would be here in need of a Savior. And this decision is made according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, where did he appear? He said, well, he didn't just appear. Well, he was born. He showed up. "Who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." So he reveals the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. People that I talk to, and I wouldn't imagine you're much different if I haven't talked to you, at some point in your life, you think about dying. You realize enough people around you die, random things happen to people, kids, terrible things happen to kids. You're like, what's going on? And you, at some point, you have to become aware of your mortality. You are not going to live forever in this body that you're in. And if that's the case, you're going to die. And people say, well, I don't want to think about that. I highly recommend thinking about that, because if you think about that, then you're going to deal with your eternity. And if you deal with your eternity, that may actually change your life. Because if you find out where you're going to spend eternity and you say, well, if he's offering me eternal life, then there might be some life between here and heaven that I can experience as well. And he addresses this, who abolished death and brought life and immortality. You think, well, aren't those the same thing? You think you're alive. You say, well, I'm breathing, I'm alive. You can be breathing, and the Bible describes even breathing people as dead in their trespasses and sins. And you can actually be as good as dead and be alive. And you say, well, that's exactly how I feel. Well, there's a reason for that, because you may actually be dead until he is your life. Then you really have no life, not a sustainable life, not only here, but in the hereafter. Now go to 1 John chapter 3, if you would. A few pages over to the right. And here in 1 John chapter 3, one verse, verse 5, and this is what he says here. "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." Why did he come? He was manifested to take away our sins. We are the reason for the season. One more out of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and following. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. By this, you know the spirit of God." Now you say, well, how do I know? He said, well, we're talking about spirits. Just you get around somebody and something said, something goes down. How would you know it is the spirit of God? "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." You say, well, okay, I admit that he lived. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. So no one, if it's a bad spirit from the other side, they're not going to want to talk about Jesus coming in the flesh. They're going to try to squelch that. "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And then this same concept, verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. A woman was Christmas shopping with her two children. After many hours of walking down row after row of toys and after hours of hearing both her children asking for everything they saw on those many shelves, she finally made it to the store elevator with her two children in hand. She was feeling what so many of us feel during the holiday season time of year, getting that perfect gift for every single person on our shopping list. Overwhelming pressure to go to every party, every housewarming, taste all the holiday food and treats, making sure we don't forget anyone on our card list, and the pressure of making sure we respond to everyone who sent us a card. Finally, the elevator doors opened, revealing a crowd in the elevator. She pushed her way in and dragged her two kids and all their bags and stuff in with her. As the doors closed, she couldn't take it anymore and blurted out, "Whoever started this whole Christmas thing should be found, strung up, and shot." From the back of the car, a quiet, calm voice responded, "Don't worry, we've already crucified him." The rest of the trip down was so quiet you could have heard a pin drop. Don't forget this year to keep the one who started this whole Christmas thing in your every thought, deed, purchase, and word. If we all would, just think how much better this world would be. You say, well, why did he come? At some point it has to dawn on you that he is not the reason for the season. We are. You are the reason for the season. And the thing that I've never gotten over is that someone literally came here, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, was buried and raised from the dead, and I can't come up with any other reason, but he did it for me, and he did it for you. And there are even unborn kids who he died for, not even on the planet yet, and he's already made provision for them. You say, well, I'm not sure I believe it was all for me. Until you believe it's for you personally, it's not going to change your life. You have to accept it personally. You have to say, okay, God, I get it. I believe that you love me. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe you came in the flesh. You know, I believe it. You say, well, I can't prove it. I can't see it. It's not worth risking an eternity separated from God to say, well, I got to figure it all out. You are not going to figure it all out. I haven't even begun to figure it out. I get little glimpses, even 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now we know in part, then we will know even as also we are known. So you're not going to know everything. Do you know enough? Do you sense enough? Are you aware? Like Simeon, we read the story of Simeon. He takes Jesus in his hand. You know when you've got Jesus around. There's no mistaking that. So if you feel him close, you say, well, I think I feel him inside me. He cannot be inside you until you let him inside you. And I've lived with him so long inside me, I don't know the difference. I know when I disappoint him, but if he were to step out of my body, leave me, it'd be catastrophic, because I know what it is to have God living in me and through me. And you can experience that. And people say, well, it can't be that simple. It is as simple as sitting under a Christmas tree and someone handing you a gift and saying, Merry Christmas, and you take it and you say, thank you. Or you say, no, thank you, and walk away. But who would do that to such a gift? And in this case, our Christmas tree happens to be a cross. And so you go to that cross, and he hands you a gift. The gift happens to be eternity, abundant life, eternal life. You reach out the hands of your heart, and you say, Jesus, I got nowhere else to go. I do believe that you died here, were buried and raised from the dead for me personally. I accept eternal life. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. Come live in me and change me. Now, here's the other thing people say. Well, I got this gift and I'm unwrapping it and things are changing, but I still go backwards. I still get in trouble. I still do stupid things. No one's saying that's not going to happen. I still struggle. You still struggle if you're a believer, but you keep running the race. You run the race till you hit the finish line. He is the finish line. He is all of it, but at least get in the race. At least accept this gift and let him change your heart and your life from the inside out. We sang a song earlier today, and you might not have gotten here, and you might not have thought about the words you're even singing. We were lost and we were broken, we were hopeless, but your love came down. We were sinners, hearts full of lust, but you didn't leave us. Your love came down. God and King, you left your throne. You're born of a virgin, your love came down. And then the chorus is, your love came down to save us. Your love came down to raise us. Your love came down. Your love came down. Your love came down to free us. Your love came down to redeem us. Your love came down. Your love came down. We were sinking, gasping for air, in need of mercy. So your love came down, healed our sickness and diseases. By your stripes, Lord, because your love came down. God and King, you left your throne. You're born of a virgin. Your love came down. We were lost, in need of a Savior. Someone who could give us hope. So we're so in need of a hero, someone who could break our chains. You came down from your throne, and with your love, you lifted me. Your love came down. Your love came down to save us. Your love came down to raise us. And that's the reason for the season. We are the reason for the season. And our Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for coming after us. It would have been extraordinary, Father, if you had come and been born. But the fact that you sent your son, your only son, Jesus, to be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, and then allow him to die on the cross, be buried and raised from the dead, not for fun, not for some exercise, no other reason, but that we could not and would not have any life, abundant life, eternal life, any life, unless he had come down. Thank you that we are the reason for the season. And I pray today that anybody in this place or beyond who does not know this personally and has never had a time in their life, a moment in their life, when they realize that it really is about them, that before time itself, a decision was made that Jesus would come here to save us. May somebody today, Lord, simply reach out, as it were, the hands of their heart and say, God, I am a sinner. I do need your forgiveness. I get it. I get it that I am lost and you came to save me. I need saving. I need rescuing. I need to be redeemed, bought back. I need everything you offer. I believe that Jesus died on that cross for me personally, that he was buried and raised from the dead to offer me eternal life. I accept it. The forgiveness of my sins, I accept it. I take the entire package. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, Lord, come live in me, through me, change me, and use my life. Thank you for loving me, God, and for giving me the faith to believe, opening my eyes, opening my heart so that I could see and even begin to understand this crazy story, but it appears a story that has changed my life. Father, you are amazing, and we thank you for coming our way. All other religions are an attempt to reach you, God, to be good enough, to perform, to do a bunch of stuff. This is the only one where you come after us. You literally came here to seek and to save that which was lost, and we thank you for that. And Father, for those of us who know you and are attempting to live this life that you intended, I pray as we have opportunity that we would remind people that he is, in a way, the reason for the season, but ultimately, Lord, we are. The individuals we come in contact with, they are the reason for the season, and we need to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight, because you are our strength and our Redeemer. And we pray it all in Jesus' name, who makes it possible. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We hope you're encouraged by Pastor Richard's unique way of challenging us to become more like Jesus, especially during this holiday season. You know, that's the goal of this program and the goal of Richard himself. to be God's hands, feet, and voice, to help us grow in our faith journey, and to become a reflection of Jesus to our neighbors, our community, and the world. You know, when you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So we'd love to hear from you, whether you've been on this faith road for a while or just getting started. The website is richardellistalks.com. There's a prayer wall to click on so you can share how we can come alongside you this holiday season. Also, during the 25 Talks of Christmas this month, it's a different holiday-themed program each and every day. So if you miss any previous Christmas talk, just click on the Daily Talks Advent calendar to listen to, download, or share any of these Christmas talks. It's right there at richardellistalks.com. And finally, a quick reminder that you can automatically receive a direct text on your phone each and every morning that will link you to the most recent Christmas talk on the website. Simply text the word Richard to 855-6-RICHARD. That's the word Richard to our toll-free number, 855-6-RICHARD. So, until the next of our 25 Talks of Christmas, we love you, we're praying for you, and we thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.